History in 5 Songs with host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Martin Popoff here. Welcome back to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcasts. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, and over 40 other podcast platforms. Podbay is one I've been linking to a lot lately. I don't know. You know, when I do all that linking, sharing on Facebook, I'm just looking for one that shows the really cool, nice picture that Dan puts together for me all the time. So that's really cool. Anyways, I can't believe I haven't done this episode before. It's one I've thought about, and I know I've talked about all of this stuff in dribs and drabs across YouTube shows and whatever. But this is episode 237. I'm calling it Genius. Just one word, genius. So you know how we've done episodes before, I think I have, on overrated and underrated, the meaning of those words. I know Pete and I have talked about that as well on Sea of Tranquility. You know, this definitional thing, genius. So this is a funny one where, okay, so let's go back a little bit. So the idea of genius, you think of an IQ over 140, you think of mathematics and science and inventing and technology and things like that. To me, that's where, you know, there's nowhere to hide. There's no bull. You know, you can be a genius in those fields. So you almost think of genius as something that more concretely lies in the scientific fields. when it comes to the arts, it's kind of funny. So I... you know, I was thinking a little bit about this, putting together this episode, and as much as I love visual art and I, you know a lot about tons and tons of different artists and art movements and stuff, I don't really ascribe genius to what they're doing, and I'm not sure why. Something to do with the fact that a lot of people can have full craft, and then a lot of people can have full ideas, and even the amazingness of your ideas and your philosophy behind what you're doing along with the craft isn't enough to go to that nowhere to hide level of you know, scientists literally inventing cures and things like that and figuring out the cosmos and everything, right? Photography, same kind of thing. And oddly enough, even in the literary world, you know, I wonder, you know, you would think that's the place where the mind works most fully, and you could have genius there as well. Let's not go into that in a big way, but let's put that aside. And then in the music end of things, it's again kind of interesting where, you know, I'll maybe get to this when we get to the honorable mentions, but you can talk about geniuses on the guitar, you know, like literally genius, down to more of a subset level, a specific part of the music industry. And the other thing I thought was kind of interesting is this idea that you know, if rock stars heard you talking about them as geniuses, they'd kind of scoff, because number one, most people who excel and are amazing artists will, you know, they have some level of imposter syndrome. I just read an amazing New York Times article on Michael Stipe, and he apparently has this imposter syndrome. Boy, I could do a whole episode just on Michael Stipe and that article. But, you know, this idea that that they all, you know, in the background realize and don't want to admit it, but there's a lot of hard work, you know, inspiration is 90% perspiration and all that kind of stuff, right? Where it's a lot of trial and error, it's a lot of putting things together. You know, we're rock stars, we're a bunch of boobs working in this stupid rock music industry. How dare you call me a genius? I'm not a genius, kind of thing, right? So that's a kind of an interesting thing too, and I think that's going to come to bear a little bit when I get to my band category of this thing. But yeah, and here's the other thing I want to say in a general sense before I pick some examples here is it drives me crazy, you know, and I can see the comments coming that every time I talk about genius, I mean, I mean it in a specific way, and we're going to go through that and going to flesh that out. But literally, when you see the comments roll in on this topic, it just turns into a big fest of everybody naming their favorite bands. I mean, it's just like, oh, I love this band. They're geniuses, right? Like, no, that's not what I want to see. And I actually went and did a little research and checked on the internet, like lists of genius rock and rollers of all time or whatever, the most genius bands of all time. And it was totally that. I mean, I totally disagreed with most of the choices they were pulling for this idea of genius. So let's have these concepts come out as we pick these tracks. Take a listen to our first selection here on History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, episode 237, Genius. This is Frank Zappa with No Not Now. Okay, so the category here is top answer, best answer, first answer that comes to mind, Frank Zappa. I've talked to all sorts of my wise music swami buddies on the topic of genius, and Frank Zappa is the first one that comes to everybody's mind. Like, we are talking about someone here who was a brilliant arranger, could read music, wrote music. He essentially is in the tradition of the great classical musicians. I mean, let's not go there, but I'm sure there's tons of genius there as well. But, you know, first concept album, people talk about Hot Rats as being the first jazz fusion album. You know, you talk about a great guitarist who can compose parts, who actually has his own sound. And, you know, I oddly, you know, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I've always said that his sound is almost like the parody of a shredding guitarist, even though shred didn't even exist in the 70s when he was laying down his most amazing guitar licks. But still, it's almost like visionary in that respect that he had a certain tone. And he was a great innovator as well. And all of this, he could do all of this. He could also gather great people and teach them things and learn from them. So he was an actual educator as well. But he could hold all of this happening. And I'll say more about the music in a sec. But he could do all this while also having, pretty intelligent political and societal and moral beliefs. And put all of that sort of stuff into his lyrics, and was absolutely engaging in interviews and, you know, the whole PMRC thing. And he went and, you know, talked to Congress about that and all that kind of stuff. So he's got this whole entire literary bent thing going on as well. As he's doing all this. And then there's the prolificness, right? The amount of records he put out and in so many different styles. In so many different styles, there's a lot of, well, number one, he's an artist that we talk about as, we're flummoxed when we try to discuss him as a prog artist. Is he a prog artist? He does fit, but jazz fusion, rock. So he's got this massive pastiche on the albums that you almost would have to call the conservative Frank Zappa albums, because there's also classical and there's also straight guitar type things as well. There's lots of instrumental stuff. There's, you know, arranging all these vocals. Even as a singer, he's in there doing super innovative, interesting things. And then the last thing I want to mention that adds to his genius is the scientific end of it, the inventor end of it, the gear end of it. This is a guy who loved sound and loved playing with that stuff as well, and you know, was well versed in that whole end of it as well. So now you're getting over into that concrete area. So absolutely, Frank Zappa, I think, is the one guy. That's the other thing. So this is about people, right? I've got a category about bands, but it drives me nuts when people say, oh, who's the greatest genius in rock and roll? And people start rattling off bands, right? It's like, bands are not one person, right? So you have to have that conversation when you talk about this stuff. So that drives me nuts as well when I see that. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. All right, back again here, episode 237, Genius. Let's play our second track and we shall discuss. This is Snowy Shaw with Nachtgeist. Why and I love this song. So the category here, I mean, the category is he's an awesome example of this. He's one of our greatest rock and roll geniuses in operation right now, alive today, because Frank Zappa's not around. But I'll get to that in a minute. My story on this is that I was somewhat inspired to do this episode because I went for a super long walk. I'm trying to get walks in of, over an hour and a half, up to 2 hours kind of thing. And so I'm walking around listening to music and, you know, going through my iPod Classic and played a bunch of stuff. And then I got, this is my iPod Classic that's got my Ill Will on it, my Note Notre Dame, my Snowy Shaw solo. So all that stuff's there. So I start playing this stuff and I'm just like almost laughing to myself out loud, enjoying walking around listening to this stuff. Because the funny thing is when I play Snowy Shaw, I always start at all of my favorite songs. I play them over and over again. I play them way too many times. But things like the greatest Christmas song of all time, Krampus, and this song you just heard, Nachtgeist. So these are all off of his definitive album, I think. It's the Snowy Shaw album, White is the New Black. It's absolute masterpiece, start to finish. So much variety, versatility. I'll get to that in a sec. All sorts of stuff on this. There's gothic music. There's incredible arranging in that. But yeah, Notre Dame. I was going to pick to put in here Vlad the Impaler from Notre Dame. But I notice on Spotify, he's done all this crazy remixing and reissuing of all this stuff. And I'm playing it and I'm going, nah, man, I wanted the original and it would be too much explaining to do to my great helpers at Pantheon to pick the song. So I thought, nah, let's not go there. Go play Vlad the Impaler, the original, and put headphones on and listen to what Snowy does on the drumming. I mean, those fills and the groove on that, there are probably like a dozen fills on there that you could just say are the greatest fills of all time in the groove, etc. But yeah, of course, the other thing is, why is Snowy a genius? So he's got all this stuff, the Notre Dame, Ill Will, man, there's a drum pattern on a Ill Organite. Organizzazioni on the Ill Will album, super rare album, right? I mean, all this stuff is kind of rare, but so essentially the cool thing about Snowy is he's a massive musicologist. He's a huge music fan, which goes into what, you know, fortunately he ended up making music too. He's one of the greatest, most tasteful, interesting drummers of all time. But he's also a singer with a whole bunch of different gears. We just did those gear episodes. He plays the guitar. He plays everything on a lot of this stuff as well. So he's a massive multi-instrumentalist. So that is part of being a genius as well. But you just know, even when he goes in and he plays for Dimmu Borgir or Merciful Fate or something, you just know he's the smartest guy in the room, right? He's the smartest, most talented guy in the room. And he's almost like he loves music too much to not say what's on his mind. So I'm sure eventually it's like he's got to leave these situations because he's a genius, right? He's got to work on his own. And the funny thing, again, about being a genius is you see how he's been releasing music and what he's been putting out is just chaos, right? It's singles here or there. Be Kind to Animals and all that. You know, so videos too, that's the other thing. Snowy is quite an adept videographer. He's making these videos himself. The Nachtgeist video, that song I just played, you've got to go see that video. It's absolutely amazing. And follow it up with the Krampus video, like I say, greatest Christmas song of all time. So take the entire catalog together. Take what this guy plays. Take his lyrics. Take his sense of humor. So the whole life philosophy wrapped up in the package. And if you want to start in one place because it all looks so daunting, and even frankly, you know, you go through some of this stuff and you're not going to see the genius if you start clicking on all these single songs here or there. So I want you to go in the right way, and going in the right way is literally playing the Snowy Shaw album, White is the New Black, start to finish. That will get you in the door. You're going to get the whole feel of why this guy is probably our greatest living rock and roll genius right now. So here's another funny thing. So I've noticed that with a lot of people I wanted to call geniuses and are geniuses in a certain way, they will drift away into other types of music in a big way eventually. I mean, people are talking a little bit about this, about Stephen Wilson, right? Devin Townsend's a good example. I want to say more on him in a second. But it's funny. Snowy is operating in an idiom that is essentially various flavors of extreme metal. So I'm looking at all these definitions of genius, and people are saying, oh, you have to impact a ton of people, and oh, how many hearts have you touched, and all this stuff. It's like, no, I don't believe in that at all. You could be a genius and have no audience or whatever. But the interesting thing with Snowy is he's an underground musician, and he chooses to operate because he loves heavy metal so much. He operates in a heavy metal idiom, and he knows, he's way too smart to know, that there's a limited audience. But fortunately, he's got a massive cult audience that realizes genius. And again, if we were all ideally as open-minded as we should be, we should just approach music and just love greatness, right? And so you would listen to this and go, oh, wow, I'm just listening to this to marvel for its greatness. And that brings up a point. I mean, I wanted to say that, you know, I listen to and follow tons and tons of like occult and conspiracy theory and paranormal and political, tons of them on the left, tons of them on the right, people on the internet, YouTube people, and many of these people are super, super famous. And again, they're famous because, often they're famous because people like what they say, but I can listen to a lot of these guys and just marvel at the operation of their minds. Like, you could tell they are geniuses on some level. You know their IQs are super high, just how fast they form their thoughts, you know, to the point where a lot of these guys, it's pretty interesting where you get that sense when somebody's talking to you that their mind is literally working faster than their mouth, and they literally are while they're having these deep thoughts, there's a parallel stream going where they're cognizant of having to slow down their mouth, even though just to make it intelligible, right, kind of thing. So that's really cool. I love when I see that with some of these great minds on the internet that I follow all the time. But yeah, Snowy is like that as a musician. And I almost picked to play a Devin Townsend track, but I realized that he's in the same category as Snowy. He's the Snowy before there was a Snowy. Devin Townsend is absolutely a genius. He's Canada's probably greatest rock and roll treasure that ever lived. But yeah, just an absolute genius crafting these albums together. Again, he does all the things Snowy does. He's a mass. I'll put it this way. He's not everything Snowy is in the way that he's, he is. I mean, he's a massive musicologist as well. He started with metal and he did all these different types of metal, but he has moved on a lot more. He's actually probably more into technology than Snowy and recording techniques. He's a renowned producer on his own as well. And now he's moved into a lot of more non-metal things like ambient and chill music sort of thing. A lot of electronics, but he's got a massive, massive catalog, going in all sorts of different directions. We know going back to Strapping Young Lad, it was even more of a thrash situation, but again, super smart thrash because he's a genius, right? So Devin Townsend is absolutely the Snowy before Snowy, the best example of that. Someone else I just want to mention quickly, and it doesn't really fit, he's not of the same stature, but this idea of he's almost a combination between a Devin Snowy and a Frank Zappa genius is Al Petrelli. I believe I've interviewed him. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've interviewed him before, but also I know this about him, period, because other people have said it. He's known as this guy who can pick up any instrument and play it immediately. He's just a virtuoso. He's done that whole, Berklee School of Music kind of thing too. So he's a virtuoso. He can play all sorts of different things. He's kind of like a band leader guy, a conceptualist as well. But, you know, I don't put him in the same category as having gone out and making amazing just artworks, right? The way a Snowy Shaw or a Devin Townsend has. Okay, so let's move on because we got a few other concepts to take care of here. Take a listen to this. This is Elvis Costello with New Lace Sleeves.
Ministers go crawling under covers. She's no angel. Say, they're all covered up with
Okay, this is the great Elvis Costello from 1981's Trust album. You know, the category here of genius is Elvis is kind of like a cross between a musical genius and a literary genius. So, you know, I'm almost more wary of calling people literary geniuses than musical geniuses. Elvis borrows a good chunk of that and, you know, validates a bunch of that, and also validates the music end of it as well. So he's very prolific, 25 albums. He's done stuff in so many different fields. He's a massive musicologist. He's like a great American songbook guy. He knows his country. He knows his jazz. But essentially, he's been a new wave artist. He's essentially a more interesting version of Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan is absolutely one of the names that's always up the list of these musical geniuses. I see it all the time. And I think what people really mean when they say that is he's a literary genius, right? I think he just happens to be inhabit a musician's body, but there's nothing about him that's a musical genius. He's not a great singer, technician, vocalist. He's very conservative with his music. There's very little interesting about his music. So this guy's a literary genius. Odd one there, and a total anomaly. But I will put Elvis Costello here as well. He's a great vocal stylist, amazing lyricist, some of the best lyrics going. And so again, this goes almost to that episode I had on Smarty Pants people, right? Elvis Costello is a Smarty Pants. It's almost like you're listening to his albums, you're going, why is this guy not bigger? Every single song here is a hit. When I say he's like a more interesting version of Bob Dylan, I think he's a more interesting version of the Beatles too. So absolute musical genius in this category of almost like artist, songwriter, but also the music end as well. So he backs it up there. Let's not go right down this path, but this is where we could talk about other people who show up on these lists, like Bruce Springsteen, like U2, like the Beatles. But let's leave it at Elvis Costello. Let's give him the satisfaction of the standing of putting him here in this writer category and representing that the best. Let's move on. Take a listen to our fourth selection here. This is Adrian Belew with 1967. All right, I've no doubt, I'm sure I've played this song before on History in Five Songs. I call this the greatest song of all time. I think it's amazing. It's his Bohemian Rhapsody, but Adrian Belew is, to me, is an absolute musical genius. I just did a Goldmine top 20 list of the top 20 albums with Adrian Belew on it. His solo catalog is some of the great, my favorite solo. Let's stay away from my favorite, right? That doesn't really matter. That's not important in this. Yeah, love what he does there. You know, love what he brought to King Crimson. He brought so many interesting things to King Crimson. So why is Adrian Belew a genius? So number one, he's recognized by people. This is almost like more validation to begin with, but he's been part of the David Bowie situation, the Talking Head situation, the Frank Zappa situation. These are super smart people that realize a talent when they see it. And of course, the King Crimson situation. He's a genius because he is a scientific genius. So he's like a gearhead, an explorer of interesting sounds. He's known to be the guy to make animal sounds on his guitar, but he's also an incredible acoustic guitarist and whatever. He can do it all. He can play traditional, crazy guitar soloing as well. But yeah, so he's that concrete kind of genius. He's an amazing, amazing lyricist on the level of a Beatles or Bob Dylan or Elvis Costello or Bruce Springsteen. Absolutely, hands down, I have no problem saying that about Adrian Belew. He's a singer, he's a band leader, he's a front man. But he's just a super smart music guy. He's proven. He's been part of absolutely, you know, when people talk about the snobbiest, most genius, most high-minded art albums of all time, like all those King Crimson. He's on every single King Crimson album, you know, starting with Discipline, right? You know, he's crucial to them because he's the singer and you know, the lyricist. He can go toe-to-toe with Robert Fripp as well. But yeah, the Bears, like, let's not forget the Bears. You know, him with his old buddies from Cincinnati there. I mean, these are some of the most beautiful Elvis Costello-like, Beatles-like albums ever made. They're a little more pop and perky and post-punk, but they are incredible as well. So yeah, Adrian Belew absolutely fits this genius category, because you got to add up a bunch of things to get a musical genius, right? So that's kind of what my point is here. We want the nowhere to hide thing. We want the no bull thing. You can't fluff your way into being a genius. This is why it drives me crazy when, you know, people talk about art collectives like the Rolling Stones and saying, oh, the Rolling Stones are genius or whatever. No, it's they are a bunch of people who came together in a unique way to make amazing art. But there's no one genius in that band, along the lines of Snowy Shaw, for example. All right, let's play our fifth selection here. Fifth and final, this is Queen with Flick of the Wrist. All right, back to the Great Sheer Heart Attack album from 1974. This is the band category. Now, you've all heard me say many, many times, there's really only two bands ever that I thought were genius bands, right? So we'll get to that in a minute. And that's Queen and that's Judas Priest. Queen from the run from Queen 1973 up to, you know, parts of The Game. I would say even on The Game, they had given away their genius mantle the way Judas Priest gives away their genius mantle on British Steel. But I just love it anyways. It's a great album. But maybe the genius stops on Jazz, for example, right? But yes, so the interesting thing here with both Judas Priest and the Judas Priest run is essentially Sad Wings through to Hellbent for Leather, right? So essentially what you get is absolutely godly music, way ahead of everybody else. Crazy studio techniques. Let's stick with Queen for a second. Crazy studio techniques. Vaulted, interesting vocals, all sorts of innovations all over the place. We got to include Roy Thomas Baker in this as well. And just operating on a level, putting everybody else to shame. Like, Led Zeppelin sound like they're in kindergarten. They sound like a garage band compared to Queen. Like, Queen was like Led Zeppelin on steroids. They were, who's the other band? I would say The Who on steroids. Basically improving on whoever you thought were the greatest craftsmen in rock and roll up to that point. And you know, the genius bits just came in torrents, minute after second after second. Even this little piece of Flick of the Wrist. You know, I wanted to pick something a little more obscure just to show the genius was everywhere with these guys. And Judas Priest, same thing. They were making Mensa metal, as I call it, way ahead of everybody else. Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, Uriah Heep, like Sad Wings, just every category was on a next level sort of situation. But the problem with the band category, of course, is who do you give credit to as being the genius? So, you know, again, we're talking about geniuses here, not, you know, which is people, which is one person, right? So the problem with it is, and I've seen Brian May on genius lists, right? But the thing is, maybe John Deacon isn't a genius. Maybe John Deacon is just a great artist, but Roger Taylor is some level of genius. Brian May is some level of genius, and so is Freddie Mercury, right? But I can't say for sure, and I wouldn't grab any one of those guys and push them up to a level of a Snowy Shaw or a Devin Townsend or a Frank Zappa or an Adrian Belew. So that's the problem. Same thing with Judas Priest. I mean, we don't even see Glenn and KK on greatest guitarist list because you got to split them up. It's two separate guys, right? But again, who's the genius in this band? I don't know if there are any. I would say it's less likely that there are any geniuses in Judas Priest than there are in Queen. But again, I think we're cheating the system to say there's some genius music here and there's a genius band here. Because I don't even like calling both of them genius bands, because I think both of them stopped being geniuses in 1980. And I'm not saying what came before was an accident, but me and all my Priest buddies always talk about how we're very frustrated that Priest doesn't realize how genius they actually were, and that makes you think it was an accident on some level, right? Or just inspiration, or they're just making great art. But no, I think there's genius music there. And just quickly mention, I pondered some other bands here. Voivod, are they geniuses? No, I think it's just really good, smart art, but who's the genius in that band? I mean, Michel Langevin is pushing it. He's getting there. I mean, we are talking about an amazing circular tornado of a drummer. He's an artist. He's a conceptualist and a lyricist. So there's a lot about Michel that pushes him into kind of a cool genius level. King's X, you think about, again, this is a bunch of genius music. It's just good. It's not just good art. It's complicated. It's interesting. It's sonically innovative. So again, unfortunately we have to split the credit between three guys. So we don't know, or we can't really say who's the genius in this band, or if there even is one. You know, maybe crudely speaking, mathematically, it takes three non-geniuses, but there's so much, there's a fair bit of genius in all of them to say they make one guy of genius, right? Metallica, you know, there's interesting situations where you go, wow, these guys were the greatest thrash band of all time, at least for a couple of albums, and they were making the best music possible, but you're not going to call them geniuses, you're just going to call them great artists, right? And again, when you have to split the credit, we have that problem. And I just want to mention one other category. I'm going to really discipline myself not to mention a thing, because I think I've got a cool episode idea for next time that's somewhat a subset of this talk. But I do want to mention one more category, this idea of that I alluded to earlier. Is Jimi Hendrix a genius? Is Eddie Van Halen a genius, right? And again, I tend to almost say, no, they're more like great, great visual artists, or great photographers, or great sculptors, or, again, literary is kind of a funny one. But let's say visual artists, right? I think there's a good thing to say there. Now, so what they do is they're amazing geniuses when it comes to their craft of the guitar. And I would say, they even add some credentials, certainly Eddie even more so, with just being a mad scientist in terms of being a gearhead and the tech of it all, right? But I want to see amazing lyrics. I want to see amazing songwriting. I want to see prolific catalog, all of that kind of stuff. I think all of those things... add to you thinking that you were right in calling these people geniuses, and that's why our previous examples are up there more so. Good. So I left this other one aside. It'll probably be the next week's show. If you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/MartinPopoff. Hit that red support button and buy me a coffee or a pint. Kind of a troubling thing happened this morning. You know, I usually share this Ko-fi thing on Facebook, but it started asking me for my password and my Facebook, and I didn't want to change my Facebook password. So I almost feel like I might not be able to do that. So what I'm saying is, this might be my telling you guys this. This might be the only way going forward that I have to even remind people this Ko-fi thing. So please be kind on the Ko-fi thing. On this front this week, I want to thank Joe Becht, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Jamie Laszlo, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Philip Edward Phyllis, Steve Polari, and Brian Sager. Of course, you can get my books. Did I write about any of these geniuses in a book before? Actually, only Queen, really, right? Interesting. Anyways, my books are all at martinpopoff.com. The latest ones are The Blue Oyster Cult. That really cool one's coming down the pipes. Should have it in a couple weeks. Perfect Water, The Rebel Imaginals. Best thing I've ever done. It's a mind blower. But it's actually already at my site. But yeah, if you do order it right away, just know that it's still a couple weeks away. It's being printed right now. But yeah, the Kiss book, Kiss at 50, AC/DC at 50, the Bowie, the Floyd, the Who, Quadrophenia, it's all there. I signed them, ship them out from my office, PayPal buttons, all that sort of stuff. Thank you very much. Go listen to some of these geniuses. You know what? You've already heard a little bit of Nachtgeist. Go play the original, or any version, really, just to get you into it. But go play Vlad the Impaler by Notre Dame. Thanks very much.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at the RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.